This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You guys are invited. Sisters are invited to sit in the back. The back, the sunlight is open for you. So the brothers who are in the back, just a heads up, a little caution. The sisters, they can move on to the back of the sunlight. We're fortunate as Tucson, as a community, to have checked out Rebetta Yehya with us today, tonight. Sheikh Abdul Yehya from Vietnam. I studied in Islamic University of Medina, and did extensive studies there. And then I went back to Vietnam to be the director of director and teacher for an organization in Vietnam, Umwat Kurwa, charity organization. Right now, he currently resides in Seattle, Washington. He's the Imam at the Emir al-Muslimin in Seattle, Washington. And he's also an Al-Maghrib instructor. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with the opportunity to have him tonight. So, inshallah,
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد. الحمد لله, it's nice to be here with nice weather. I think for the last 2 months in Seattle, I've maybe seen the sun twice. But I hear that rain is on its way over here, so. I guess I'll have to go back to the rain in this. What is the most difficult hadith to apply? If I ask you that question, knowing all that hadith that you've heard, what is the most difficult one to really to apply and feel that you have given it to me? Maybe some of us have thought about it, probably most of us haven't thought about it. But one of the most difficult things to do is to really keep a balance in this life and hereafter with all the problems that we have, family problems, and school, and all kinds of things. One of the most difficult things is really to be balanced. And that's why when we ask, I remember asking, what's the most difficult thing to do so far? He said, hey, look at that, which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke. He didn't take, his wife was not taking care of herself properly, and Salman al-Farisi came to the Messenger of Allah and told him of his prayers, his fasting, he would pray at night time, and then he would spend his daytime fasting. When he asked his wife why she did not adorn herself for her husband, he said, because that does not need us. He does not need me. He has no need for this. There's no point in me adorning myself. So Salman al-Farisi was partnered with him like that. It was a partnership for the brotherhood of the Prophet established in Medina. And this is also not just to help the financially, also to remind each other also. And he knew that there's something wrong. So he went and informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّا وَإِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّا وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا فَأَعْطِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقًّا. He said, indeed, you yourself, Allah, your Lord has a right upon you. and your family, they have a right upon you also. And you yourself have a right upon yourself. So give each entity that is deserving of right its right. So each one that deserves a right, give them its right. So that's why sometimes we get confused. We don't know what to do, and it seems like the world is falling apart. And we don't really know what to focus on. And we don't know where to start, to put everything back together, because it seems like everything's falling apart. And a lot of the times it's because we don't really, think about some of the things that we're concerned about. Sometimes, because there's two types of concern. You're concerned about worldly matters, or you're concerned about the hereafter. And sometimes, if a person is not focused on the correct proper thing, their life becomes a pile of mess, just a mess everywhere. So, when you ask people, why are you here? Why are you here? It's a very, very simple question. Why are you here? What are you doing? What are you doing here? And if you can't answer that question, then your life is going to be a mess. If you cannot answer that question, your life is going to be a mess. It's like if you're playing soccer or basketball, whatever sport you may have, right? Hockey, basketball, soccer. If you were to take the goals out and then tell both this out, would you have a game? Would it? The people just running around in circles, passing this guy with no purpose. There would be no winners, there's no purpose, everyone just running around. If you took the goals, there would be a game. And so, in life, a lot of people are running around in circles. They don't even know why they're here. What they do, and they might feel like, hey, you know what? I think this is the purpose. But it's just like that soccer game. The purpose of the soccer game isn't just to pass. You don't get any points. You don't win just by passing. Okay, I'm going to just pass it like that. Yeah, I did it. So they don't really know the goal. So they're running. A lot of people are running around. And a lot of times you have family. School, your parents, to take care of, to listen to, what do you do? All kinds of, so many things that are going on. You might be confused. You don't know what to do. In this world, especially in this world, when a person is not focused, they don't really know what they're doing, then you'll see that their life becomes a mess. They start chasing after this and chasing after that. And it never ends, and all of a sudden death comes to itself. And then you start seeing the reality stuff in the hits. So what is that purpose? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind with jinn. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. I have not created man, jinn, and mankind except for my worship. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship. But what is that worship? A lot of people, they think, oh, it's just prayer and the God and stuff. But the term worship is more broad than that. It encompasses everything and anything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have feelings of love for your parents, that feeling itself of hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that itself is worship. And then sometimes there are words that you say. That's worship. And actions that you do with your lips. That's also worship. Whatever you do that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's worship. And that is why you can be, we as Muslims, we can be at a state of worship 24 hours a day. If we have the right intentions, every step that you take, before you take it, you ask yourself, is Allah going to be pleased with me if I do this? Then you should do such actions, or you should stay away from those actions. and if your whole life is like that, then you're in a state of worship. Because everything that you're doing is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your check and seem is pleasing to Allah. Or not, that pretty much that's what worship is. And so when you focus on the right things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everything. You'll see everything coming into place. And so if you feel that the world is falling apart, remember this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من كان همه الآخرة جمع الله شامله وجعل دنياه في قلبه وأتته الدنيا وهي باقية. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whosoever is concerned is the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join his affairs. And he will fix al-ghina, meaning your self-sufficiency. You feel self-sufficient, you feel pleased in your heart. You'll be pleased in that concern. Well, that's what dunya is. The dunya will come whether he wants it or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of your affairs, take care of your children. You focus on the hereafter. When you focus on the hereafter, you start to see reality. And also the problems that occur, little problems that you might think are really big, they become very small. And that's why the Prophet says, the mentality, the end of dunya. Whoever's focus is solely to dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disperse his affairs, all the things that he's looking for. He disperses it, which makes you busy in all kinds of matters. You're never going to be finished. All your affairs are all going to be dispersed all over the planet, everywhere, all over the place. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرُهُ بَيْنَهُ. And poverty will be wrecked everywhere. The only thing you do, whatever you're doing, you're always going to be afraid of poverty. I'm going to be poor, I'm going to be poor, I have to do this and that. That will be your main concern and your worry. And وَلَمْ يَحْتِنِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ. And there's nothing that will come from the dunya except for that which is already written for. And so, this is a very, very important hadith, especially concerning when we're thinking about the dunya and the hereafter. Of course, a smart person will use this dunya. It's very short, but at the same time, it's very important because it will determine your success in this life and the earth. Because this is the time in which we build our akhirah. It's in this dunya. This is the time in which you plant your trees in the garden of paradise. This is where you build your house in the garden of paradise. And this is where we furnish our akhirah. And that's why this is the time for deeds. And that's why Ali ibn Talib radiallahu anhu said, "Irtahil dunya mufiha." The dunya is going away. Like all of us, every day, every single day, we are 60 seconds, we're going at 60 seconds, and we're closer to our death every single day. Every single day. Every single day, the time that we have in this world decreases. We're that much closer to our end. But at the same time, we don't know where that end is, and it can end at any time. And the hereafter is coming towards us. So we're all on a journey, and the hereafter is there. We're heading towards the hereafter. And every group, I didn't even follow this, we're completely wrapped up in the Nina, and the children, every one of them, the hereafter in this worldly life, there are children. There are children of the hereafter, and there are children of this life. فَقُولُ مِنْ أَبْنَاكَ. Be amongst the children of the hereafter. وَلَا تَقُولُ مِنْ أَبْنَاكَ. Do not be amongst the children of the dunya. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَّ. Indeed today, the day in which we do our deeds. وَلَا حِسَابٌ. There's no reckoning. And then the hereafter, hereafter, is hisab, is reckoning, and no worries. So this is the time which we put together with your deeds. And so, first of all, what are we concerned about in our daily lives? What do we do? Ask yourselves right now. So you find out whether you are amongst the children of the hereafter, or amongst the children of this life, of the dunya. Ask yourself, what do you think about before you go to sleep? What do you think? Before you go to sleep. What do you think about when you pray? What makes you sad? What makes you happy? What makes you angry? What are your goals? What do you ask for in your sujood? What kind of spouse are you looking for? What kind of friends are you hanging around with? Like, ask yourself, what are you looking for? And if you were to, would you be embarrassed to show people your search history on Google? Would you feel okay if everybody saw that? That's who you are. That's who you are. That's what you're concerned about. That's what you're concerned about. That's what you're thinking about. So are you amongst those of the children of hereafter or the children of this life? And thus, when we ask, when you answer, give an answer to this question, then ask yourself, if you were in front of if the hellfire is in front of you, and you're that sirat. That sirat is that bridge over Gehenna that you cross. Some people will cross it in the flesh. Some people will cross it in the flesh. Others will cross it like that person who's riding a steed on a fast horse. Others will cross it and suffer fall and be grabbed by the hooks that come from the sides and then fall. How fast will you go if you are there? How fast? It is not based upon your acrobatic abilities. Just because you work for the circus does not mean you're going to cross the path. No. It will be based upon your deeds. And how? It will also be based upon how you respond to Allah's message. The faster you are in responding to Allah's message and sending your deeds, you're going to cross. And vice versa. So everybody right now, if you're in front of the sirat, check yourself right now. When it's time to pray, are you looking forward to it? Or are you looking forward to finishing the prayer? Are you looking forward to the prayer? Or are you always delaying when prayer time comes? Which takes precedence in your life? And so these are the things that affect our hereafter. And when we think about this worldly life, the whole world, this life is a test for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in to test us to see how our deeds are. And so when a person is concerned about whatever you're concerned about, when you're concerned about the hereafter, everything that bothers you, and every little thing that bothers maybe other people, it will not bother you so much. Let me give you an example. Imagine yourself in this question. You're sitting down waiting for prayer. And three people come in, a father and two young kids. The father and two young kids walk into the masjid. And you're just sitting there. And all of a sudden you see the two children playing chase and they're running around in the masjid. That father goes in the back of the masjid, sits down, and just sits there as if nothing is happening. His children are running around people. In fact, they're actually slapping people who are reading the Quran in the head. And so when you're looking, when you're seeing this whole scene, how do you feel? Who are you angry at? Are you irritated? Definitely. But you're looking at the father, and the father sees all of this. He knows his children are doing this, they're doing it right in front of his eyes. But he's not doing anything. I'm pretty sure everyone in the masjid at that time is probably looking at that father. Why isn't he doing anything? This is not the place. This is not the playground here. So you finally You've had enough. So you get up and you go straight to the father. And you say, excuse me, would you please, and everybody's watching you, praying, would you please take care of the children? And so he goes like this. And he looks at you and he says, I'm sorry, I really apologize. You just came from the hospital. Your mother just passed away. How do you feel? At that moment, before that you were really irritated, quite angry. But as soon as he said that, you no longer are angry at him. And the children that are running around, you'll probably hug them, forgive them. And you feel sorry for them because they don't know what has just happened. They will no longer see their mother. At the same time, they're still running around. They don't even know the severity of the situation. So when a person is thinking about the hereafter, that's why the Prophet said, because everyone's concerned about the hereafter. All the little things that you think that are big, they don't irritate you. They don't bother you. They don't faze you. That's why the Muslim is the strongest person. They're determined because all the little things don't faze you. Just like right before that, you were very angry, but when you think about that, now it's a different. Nothing has changed. Physically, the children are still running around. And that man still hasn't said anything to his children. But you're no longer angry at him. Because you're thinking about something bigger. Something greater. That's why sometimes, you know, I have children. I have 3 sons. And sometimes I go to the store and I find out there's there are some Hot Wheels that are on sale. These are the bigger type of Hot Wheels. They have the small ones and the bigger cart, right? And then they're on sale, you know, so I'm saying, let me get some for the kids, you know, they'll be happy. So what I do, I end up choosing a Ferrari, a Hummer, and something like a Porsche or something. Anyways, Ferrari, Hummer, and a Porsche. Why? I could have chosen just all Ferraris, all Porsche, whatever it is, all the same. But you know, you're thinking, hey, come on, if you're going to buy 3, right, you have to adjust to them at the same time, it'd be wasteful to buy the same exact same car. That's what I'm thinking, right? You know, might as well just get 3 different types of variety. Better than having the exact same thing. I can get the exact same thing easily. So I come home, right? And as I got each one into a car, so the eldest would come to text the car. Takes the Ferrari. Okay. Then the youngest one comes and takes the Porsche. So the only thing that's left for the youngest one, or the middle one takes the Porsche, the only thing left is this ugly boxcar. It's the Hummer. It's pretty ugly. You understand? People like it because, hey, it's expensive and it's supposed to be this and that. But you know, it looks pretty ugly, right? I mean, to a child,